You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon from Los Angeles. I'm Yael Kagan. Happy to have you here with me. Today I am super excited because I have a very special guest with me. Not only that she is a very special person, but she's very special to me, Michelle Gazi. And I will give you a few minutes to introduce yourself later. She came to my life when I came to visit the college that I've attended 12 years ago. So she's my everything. She taught me everything I know. She taught me hypnotherapy, a lot about my life, my journey, even public speaking I took with you. So she taught me the love to stage, teaching, giving lectures and everything I do, and NLP. And I've signed up and took your class. Mm-hmm. You also mentored me for a while after. And I will give Michelle a brief interview. I do want her to talk a little bit about her, and then we will dive straight into our subject, very important subject, especially those days. So let us start and tell them more about you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It is such a pleasure. I love being on talk radio, and I love working with you. You are actually one of my favorites at the college that we were at, and she was such an awesome student. So I'm a hypnotherapist. I am a neurolinguistic practitioner. I'm a trainer. I'm an instructor. I do a lot of different modalities, but mostly what I focus on is how we communicate with the conscious and the subconscious mind. And I've been in business for about 33 years here in Los Angeles. And I love helping people. And I love helping people have breakthroughs and being able to see beyond what we call our programming, you know, beyond that reality of what everybody else is saying in the world and what society is thinking about. So it's how your mind is working that affects your body, that affects your emotions, that affects us. Which brings us here today because we're going to talk about all of that. So thank you. Thank you so much.
So thank you for coming here. And, you know, I wanted you from the first moment. I needed you here with me. Yeah. And I do want to dive into a very important subject. Mm-hmm. And I will include media and social media. But I want to talk first about, I would say, what is happening in the world now. Because we all... we hear a lot of information. We get maybe too much information. Mm-hmm. We are all overloaded with messages. And what we know as hypnotherapists is that's putting us into like a natural hypnosis stage. We are very suggestible to all the information that's coming, a little bit too much. And sometimes we don't know, or the subconscious mind doesn't know, to the difference between good and bad, right and wrong, and that's where what we call fake news also come into the picture. And just to point a very little, I was trying to think because we were talking and we said no politics and no, we don't want to, you know, interrupt or get anybody upset. But even when it rains in LA, and it used to not rain in LA, so every rain, and I come from Florida, so I know what rain is. But every rain here in LA, it's like, oh my God, all TV channels are flood watch and the mudslide and showing you sad things and devastation. And I get calls from friends from out of state. What is happening? Is your house okay? And all it is a tiny little video that they will show, and they will keep repeating the law of repetition, which makes the subconscious mind say it is happening. It's everywhere because we generalize and we get the feel that this is a danger. It's happening everywhere. Oh my God, we have to check on our loved ones. Are they okay? They live in LA, but nothing in my area. Nothing is happening. Everything is good. So let's try to explain through our knowledge because we want to help people today. We want to help them understand where it's coming from, what is happening, and how we can avoid it. How can we help them?
Well, basically, what I'm noticing is just even with my private practice, is that the levels of stress that we are in right now, it's out of control. And I work with children, teenagers, all the way up to the elderly, and I've never had so many kids come in that are so overloaded with everything that they need to be doing and everything that they're seeing, not only on TV and radio anymore, it's just beyond that, because I don't even watch TV hardly anymore, but it's within the social media. And our minds are expecting to get information within just a few seconds. We literally have an 8-second time span to where we're tuned in and then we're tuned out. And if it's not what we want, if it's not scary enough, if it's not crazy enough, if it's not stupid or silly enough, then let's scroll. So the stress that because of information is so available that, you know, I think that we are in just an overload of what we call message units. And these message units are affecting our own beliefs, our own sense of reality. I have a client right now that if it's not on social media, it must not be real. You know, if this person on this TikTok channel has not said it, that it may not be real. And they're basing everything in their life on somebody else's perception of reality. And it's getting a little scary. And, you know, this is why sometimes, you know, I'll find myself on social media and I'll be looking and scrolling, because I also have an animal rescue, so I like the animal stuff. And, oh, there's that cute dog, and I'm laughing on the floor. But it's addictive. And so we're turning into an addictive society that we need to have that hit, and it's a dopamine hit that's taking place. And, yes, it rains in L.A. I'm from Alaska. It rains in L.A. We need to have rain for our trees and our grass. But when it does rain, gets a little crazy.
The internet is giving me shit right now.
Don't let it give you shit. What's it doing?
Because we're talking about information and media.
The powers above.
It shuts down.
Yeah. So, yeah, look in the camera more.
Okay, sorry for a little interruption.
See,
world of internet. Somebody
internet.
Had to shut us down so
we're
that we don't.
We're talking about stuff it doesn't like. I'm sorry. We're sorry, internet people.
But we'll go back to it.
So just an overload. And, you know, we're in so much stress. So how do we break that cycle? How do we start thinking for ourselves? And how do we start processing? Is this information real? Is it not? Is it pertaining to me? Is it helpful? Is it beneficial to myself, to my family, to my children? Do I need to watch it? Can I turn it off? And if you're not sure, then, you know, we always have an option, and we have an option to just turn it off, tune in, tune out, and turn it off if we need to. So let's dive a little bit more into this subject and what's happening with this. So I'm glad you brought it up, because it is just crazy in my office right now.
It's over, not even overrated. It's like taking the world the way I see it, and it's in every field possible. And it's interesting. I want to continue something that you said, because many people will say, I'm not watching the news anymore. And I'm a big believer in trusting my own intuitions. And I do watch TV, and I do like to watch TV, and I do like to get information, even from some channels, let's say. If I watch a TV channel that I know that is, you know, less my philosophy, I will still watch it, because I still want to know and see what are they showing. Because guess what? A lot of people are... Okay, sorry again. We're back here. So I was talking about how I am a big believer of not escaping situation. I believe in keep watching and learning how do I use my common sense and my knowledge to choose what I'm watching and how I find information, whether it's right or wrong. And sometimes I will not have all the information needed. But from some reason, if you look at some of the media, the way they post things, they will take a short part of interview, let's say, and they will take a very short part. They will take it out of context. So that means nothing. I want to know what that did the person say before and after. Otherwise, everyone can interpret it very differently. And then, like I said, the law of repetition, they keep repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. The minute I see that, I want to know more. I want to check more before, because everyone, because of our programming, and maybe in two words you can explain what neurolinguistic programming is in NLP, because we all get information, our brain gets the information. However, we use the linguistic, we use the programming, which is actually the subconscious mind, in order to process and make our decision. Is it good? Is it bad? How exactly do I understand it? And three people will see the same footage and understand it completely different. So in a like few short words, if you can explain that.
So what we're talking about is NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And basically, it's just a modality. And when we break it down, neuro is your brain and how your brain is functioning, taking that information. And linguistics, as we know, is language. And then your programming is what we call your model of the world. So what is your model of the world? And it's based on where you were born, your family that you were born into, your culture, and the teachings that you had growing up. So, for example, I was raised in Alaska. I was not raised here in Los Angeles, and I was raised, we went camping and fishing, but I was out in the wilderness a little bit more. So that's my programming. So when you have a certain program that's set in your mind, in your subconscious mind, we also have the neural pathways of how the brain is working. And when that pathway has that repetition and it gets set over and over and over again, that, that becomes that belief, it's hard to break that belief. So what are you programmed for? And that's one of the first questions I ask my clients, you know, what are your belief systems? Tell me about yourself growing up from the time you were born until where you are right now, because I'm going to be listening for what I call those associations, those known associations and those beliefs. And sorry to say, but the older we are, the more set those programs are and the harder they are to break. Children, they're a little bit more suggestible. They're still taking information in. They're still learning. They can change just like this. But adults, it's a little bit harder. So what are your beliefs based on that program? So we love talking about NLP, and then with hypnosis, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I believe we're being hypnotized every single day into what everybody else wants us to think. Everybody else wants us to feel and what they believe is right.
And hypnosis is nothing scary. It's not anything too big. It's actually very natural. So like we said before, overload of messages, which is what we are all facing right now, too much information gets into our brain in a second, and that's exactly what happens. It's like almost like we become numb, and we are just very suggestible to every piece of information that comes. But what we want to talk about and see how we can teach people to stop for a second, take a little pause, and use your critical thinking. Use your thoughts, use your intuition. And I'll give a very short example. When we see something on TV, and I see it a lot with my husband because we have very different political views, and someone, whoever it is, I'm not mentioning name, will say something. So the way he will look at it is not even the text, not even what is said, but who is saying it. Is that reporter a left wing or a right wing? If he's right wing, he's talking just right wing language. But it's not necessarily a good reporter should be able to talk in a more objective. And I know some of them are not. But we shouldn't judge what is being shown or seen just by who is saying it. We need to check. We need to understand where it's coming from, what is he saying, and what was the entire conversation, not just one piece of sentence that may make us think this way or another. So I see that a lot, and it's bothering me, and it's every day that I see it, and I see it also affecting relationship.
But why is it bothering you?
It's bothering me because sometimes you want to say something, you just start the sentence, and the defense mechanism on the other side, you know, comes up, and like with my husband, at least, he will not even let me finish the sentence, and I'm like, wait a second. I didn't want to say anything against your belief. Sometimes I want to say something that will support your belief. But just by starting the sentence the way I did, so my language made you coming to defense. So yeah, it's a message for me also, change your language, because it's all about languages.
And that's what we specialize in.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's much difficult when we deal with...
Our own people, right? Our relationships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what I did is I went and I did some fact check, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to see who came first, and I was trying to see what the regulations are, because it's important. Otherwise, everyone can just come on TV, on radio, or whatever it is, and just say whatever they want to say. And if there's no regulations, no problem. There are no consequences. So obviously, from what I saw, is that newspapers and radio came first. Then came the TV, which brought the visual content, basically. And then internet, which allowed all the Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and going even, you know, a lot more than that. Now, as far as regulations, newspapers has relatively strict regulations, and there are consequences. They can face fines or legal action, and so and so. So they need to think twice before they just say whatever they want to say. TV, believe it or not, and radio, the same thing. Mm-hmm. They have set broadcasting rules. They may receive fines, license suspensions, legal penalties for violation of broadcasting regulations. Social media, on the other hand, it is not really regulated, unless it's regulated by certain countries, but it's not really regulated, which means that you can say whatever you feel like saying.
Exactly.
And if you know how to say it, if you know how to talk, if you've learned linguistics, if you learned how to talk, what your body language is, your tone of voice, repetition, like I said, then you will have a million followers that will listen to you without even checking if what you said is right or wrong, because no one can do anything.
Nothing we can do. And it's what we call a state of suggestibility. And that is literally what hypnosis is. If we take that word and throw it away, it just represents a state of suggestibility. And suggestibility is being suggestible. It's communication. And yes, news, you know, TV, radio, they have set standards and set rules. Do they always follow them? No. Okay. But when we get in the newspapers, but when we get into social media, we could literally stage an earthquake right now. I could right now start moving everything on this table and the microphone and start screaming and yelling, oh my God, we're having an earthquake in Los Angeles. It's huge. It's got to be at least an 8.2, and everything can start falling down. And if somebody didn't catch us before on the show and just all of a sudden tuned in to this one segment where we're creating an earthquake, that's all they're going to see is that earthquake. And then they may take that little part of this video and just send it to other people to start calling and texting and say, did you feel the earthquake in Los Angeles? There was an 8.2. They were on the show and the walls and the clocks were falling down. They had a huge earthquake. And then that person's going to spread it to somebody else. And that person's going to spread it to somebody else. And then everybody in Alaska is going to be calling me and say, what's going on with the earthquake? How's your house? Did it fall down the hill? Because I live up in the hill. And we just created this right now. So what's the difference between reality and fantasy? And that's where we're saying, stop and think, check your resources, check the facts, and make sure that this is something and a source that's reliable. You know, so if we can create an earthquake and you're going to believe it, What else are you going to believe in your life that's affecting you every single day? Because stress, that we know 80% of stress, mental and emotional stress, creates illness, disease, chronic fatigue, insomnia, addictions, and it's going into the physical body. 80% or more of any pain, any illness and disease that you have started with stress. And if you backtrack, when that first began, when you started first not feeling good, what was going on in your life in that moment? You know, 2 months, 3 months prior to that. And I will almost guarantee a stressor happened. And it doesn't have to be an extreme trauma or an abusive situation. It could just be literally what you are watching or what you are hearing and then what's around you. So let's create that earthquake and see what happens out there.
And we talked also about how many of my clients, your clients mm-hmm. now, comes for anxiety because that's what it's causing. And we all contribute to it, but we are basically doing something which is not great for the world, and we are here because we want to help people. So we want to discuss a little bit more, how can we help people? What kind of tools can we give them?
So anxiety, what is that? That's an overload of stimulus. It's exactly what we're talking about. It's an overload of information. What we see, hear, feel, taste, touch, smell, everything. And a quick fix with anxiety is if you go to a doctor or a mental health specialist, they want to put you on medication. Oh, you're feeling anxiety. Here, take this little pill, and it's going to make it go away. But that's just a Band-Aid. You know, if you fall down and you cut yourself, you put a Band-Aid on, it may help you heal, but you still need to allow the body to do what it needs to do. It heals from the inside, not just because you put a Band-Aid on there. So when we have so much anxiety in our life, we need to figure out what can we do, and how do I do like a, what we call a little self-check. Where is my level of stress and anxiety today? And backtrack. And then some of the easiest things that we can do is literally just stop and take a few deep breaths. Did you know when you just stop and breathe on purpose, you're affecting your nervous system? You're affecting what we call the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. And just taking a deep breath in and holding it just for a few seconds and then releasing it slowly, that's sending a signal to the mind and the body just to slow down, just to stop. Because we forget to breathe. I had a client the other day was talking, and I was listening and listening and listening and probably went on for about 4 or 5 minutes and didn't stop, didn't take a breath. And I was trying to hold my breath while they were talking. I was counting, and I almost passed out because my client was talking so much and just couldn't stop talking. And this happened, and this happened, and their brain was going, 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 going. And finally, I just said, just stop for a moment. Can you just breathe? And they took this deep breath in, and everything just shifted. And I said, okay, now let's talk a little bit more, but I want you to slow down. And every 30 seconds or a minute, I'm going to stop you, and you're going to breathe, and we're going to reassess really what happened. And I want you to tell me differently. I want you to tell me this situation that occurred slower while you're breathing, because they were maintaining that state of anxiety just in how they were talking, and they didn't let the brain get off what we call that neural pathway. And it's like when we get on a freeway, at least out here in Los Angeles, or a highway or a road, and you keep going, and if there's no exits, everything is blocked, you have to keep going on that freeway. So what's your off-ramp for your anxiety? And hypnosis, that's one thing that we do when we come in with hypnotherapy. I can help you break that cycle. We not only use breathing, we use anchoring techniques. Sometimes I may give you a key word. Sometimes I may give you something to do with your hand or hands. You know, one of my favorites is just make an okay sign. Take a deep breath in and just stop and put your thumb and finger together and just say for a moment, you know, I'm okay. This is okay. And this is what we call an anchor, an NLP anchor. And when you pair these three things together, these words, the breath, and something physical with the body, then it sends the energy into a different cycle. And then the anxiety can begin to dissipate. So it's actually very, very simple. You know, it doesn't have to be rocket science. Anxiety comes on because of your thoughts and feelings. And so how do we change our thoughts? How do we change that thinking? Start with breathing. Give yourself a different word or a sentence, a mantra you can say to yourself, and then the physical body will respond immediately.
It's funny because a lot of my clients are Israelis, mm-hmm. and when I start
and
telling them...
And by the way, did you see, I could see out of the corner of my eye, when I was talking about it, did you see her breathing change?
Mm-hmm.
Her breathing immediately
because
changed.
Because I'm very suggestible to you. Hello, you are my teacher. I'm
and
super
And I'm not
suggestible.
Even using my special voice.
But my clients would sometimes, when I said, do you want to stop for breathing a little bit? Mm-hmm. You're not breathing. And they're like, of course I'm breathing. Don't you see I'm alive? So that's not the type of breathing that we mean. And I love to tell my clients and teach them about the electric system of the body, mm-hmm. and how when there's an energy blockage, that's exactly what happens. And you want to release it. And we use different techniques. I use EFT as well. Which we'll talk another day, but I use it a lot. But
Explain
I do
a little bit what it is.
So. Emotional freedom technique, okay. which is exactly that. It's by tapping on 10 specific points in the body. I'm actually ready to teach it one day here.
Yay.
I would love to because I use it a lot. It's good for different things, but just to release that tension and that emotional and energy blockage. We use EFT, and I can teach it very simple, in a very simple way right here. By the way, there is a very quick point right here that without doing the whole thing, just by tapping like karate chop, mm-hmm. just by doing that, do you feel your breathing, what it does?
It feels good, by the way, first off. I like it. It's energy.
I know.
Point.
And some of and us so are more emotional than others, mm-hmm. so they will be just like me. Immediately affected, but look
really?
How many deep breaths I take just by doing that. And mm-hmm. just as one little thing that I teach during emotional freedom mm-hmm. technique session. But the anchoring, and I love touching, of course, after getting my client's approval. Sometimes what I'll do when I do breathing, I just touch them at certain points mm-hmm. and it just clicks immediately in the brain, and it's like, stop thinking, stop all this craziness and hurricane going on in your mind, and mm-hmm. just be here.
So it's like a disconnect. So
exactly.
What are you saying something when you're doing this? If they
yes.
have like a quick little, is it
usually
like a mantra
we work or? On something specific. Okay. So by the way, it can also be for a weight loss or to get rid of addiction to food, to sweet, to bread, to whatever it is, then we will find the word. I don't bring the word or the sentence. I take it from my client. I basically take the word. We tap on it a few times. We add a few words to it. And then it just starts releasing and releasing. And it's amazing. And if we do the whole 10 points, the whole cycle, I promise you it works. But for now, we are talking about breathing or anything else that can release that, because the addiction, that's part of the problem. The dopamine mm-hmm. boost is what is causing us to want more and more and more. It's not necessarily something good. But again, like I said, the subconscious mind doesn't know what the difference is, and it will just consume more and more and more. And I'm not the one to say, try to do less. Try to not be on social media. Try to limit your time on social media. Yes, I do believe that we need to limit our time on social media for 10 million reasons. But if you have a need for that, I use it a lot for my advertising, for my business, for spreading messages to the world. I use it for good reasons. However, I still believe that people that feel that they are not in full control and that can be there the right time and make sure that it doesn't bring anything bad, because we talked about depression, anxiety, the numbers are skyrocketing. I mean, it's been never that bad. And also depression as well. By the way, I read somewhere that the whole thing about addiction mm-hmm. and social media, they want to add it into the psychological book disorder as a disorder. Mm-hmm. And it's not the regular addiction. It's addiction that has to do with social media and information from the media. So, I mean, hopefully they will do it, but it's not a great thing that it's happening. And I believe that we need to be in control. We need to support ourselves. If you need help, you go to someone to teach you. That's why we are here. But you can also, just by listening to this show and taking the tools and the information that we are giving, you can make a change. And when you make the change, you affect everyone around you. So it's your spouse, it's your kids, it's your parents, everyone that's around you. Any other tool we can try to offer that can make people kind of like use more their thoughts instead of just running right into it? We are very judgmental. As human people in general, we are very judgmental, which is good and bad. Because when it comes to support us, or because we want, it's a defense mechanism, basically, that's fine. But we also want to be careful.
Well, society is based in the negative. I'm sorry to say. Fear sells. Pain sells. Insecurity sells. Low confidence sells. So when you watch TV, or you read a magazine, or you listen to the radio or news, or even the commercials, it's pinpointing all of your fears and doubts, limiting beliefs, expectations, low self-esteem that you have in yourself. You know, I did turn on the TV a few days ago, and I don't normally watch regular TV, but I noticed that probably 85% of the commercials were all pharmacy drug commercials. And if you have this pain, you need this pill. And if you take this pill, this is going to help you. But, you know, at the very end of every commercial, they talk really, really fast. And if you take the pill, your hair's going to fall out, your arms are going to fall off, and you're not going to have any fingernails anymore. And it might cause high cholesterol or heart conditions and so forth. So they have to put the little disclaimer in there. But that's what media is. That's what society is, you know, human beings are focused more on the negatives because that's a little bit more exciting. You know, that's getting out of the norm. I mean, literally, if everything was just so perfect, because people talk about, oh, I want to be enlightened. I just want to be calm and peaceful and have no fears and no issues at all. That's not what we do as humans. That would be so boring. It's not possible to have this on the planet. I just watched the Barbie movie. I loved the Barbie movie. Okay, what about Ken? You know, Ken, he was so cute. I just love Ryan Gosling. And, you know, the Barbie movie, and to watch it, but don't watch it like a fun, silly little comedy. I was watching the underlying theme behind that. And, you know, Barbie's waking up in the perfect world. And everything is the same, and the same hair, and the same shoes, and hey, Barbie, and hey, Barbie, and everything was the same every single day. And then there was a little rip in that universe. And then reality kicked in. And then they realized, oh, my God, I can cry. Oh, actually, I can actually eat food and drink. And then they went back to the real world. And guess what? Barbie and Ken kind of liked that a little bit more. And they thought that was interesting. Oh, well, actually, I can think a little differently and wear some different clothes. So that movie was so fascinating to me of what society is really all about. So when you ask yourself and you come in and say, I just want to have just peace and calmness in my life. Well, that's great. But how do you deal with the stress? Because we actually need stress to survive. And good stress is fine. There's nothing wrong with good stress. You know, we have a little earthquake, that's good stress. We're stuck on the freeway in traffic. It may not be good stress, but it is a stressor, and you manage. And stress sometimes motivates us, and it gets us out of that procrastination. You know, if we wait to the last second to do a few things, some of us are those procrastinators, and then we finally realize, oh, I can, you know, I got to get things done. And we do get things done, but just also keep in mind that you created a program. So we have the breathing that we can do. We can do some EFT tapping. She'll teach you a little bit more about that. We have keywords that we can say, mantras. I also want you to think about something else. Your eyes are your windows to your soul, but you're accessing your brain activity. And believe it or not, if you keep your head still and you look up at the ceiling and you smile, you cannot have a negative thought or a negative emotion. It takes you out of a negative state. And you can try this. You can think about a negative situation or go into an emotion right now. And, you know, when we look down, when you're sad, when you're depressed, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, where do our eyes go? Our eyes go down. And these are the negative emotions. Kinesthetic, negative self-talk. But when we look up, we're kind of accessing the brain in a different way. And we're going more into a different visual. So if you're having a bad day or you're really, really stressed, look up if you can. Go take a walk. And don't look at where you're walking. Be safe, of course. But look up. Look up at the trees. Look up at the sky. Look up and smile on purpose. And then I may even have somebody say a keyword. You know, one of my favorite things to do for me is I use what I call a release technique. And if I'm having a really bad day or a really stressful day, I may take a walk around the neighborhood and I literally do this. I may snap my fingers, and if I can walk and do this at the same time, I'm going to look up to the right, I'm going to look up to the left, I'll look up to the right, look up to the left, and I'm just saying this, release, 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 release. And I'm accessing left and right brain. I'm breaking the state of suggestibility. You can do this sitting down. You can, you know, be careful doing it driving in your car, of course. But left brain, right brain, left brain, right brain. It's breaking that cycle, that neural pathway, and it's like crossing wires. So the neural pathway that's dealing with the stress can't fire and wire anymore. So just do that. Find a word, release or relax or let go, whatever it is. And just look up and look up. You can just use your eyes. Relax, 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 relax. And if you keep saying it and you start smiling and laughing, that's going to change your endorphins, your hormones, your dopamine is going to get activated again, but in a more positive way. So we have simple, simple, very easy techniques to use to snap yourself out of what I call environmental hypnosis, environmental suggestibility, and stop and think for yourself. And another thing I like to share with my clients is when you are just so confused and you're not sure or you cannot make a decision, then stop and ask yourself, is it worth it to get so caught up into this right now? Can I take a moment and just step out of the room, turn off the TV, put the phone down, get off the computer? Is how I'm feeling worth it? Is this anxiety I'm feeling over this social media post or this news post, is it worth it to my mental well-being and my state of health? And if the answer is yes, fine, keep watching, keep listening. Okay? Keep getting sucked into that negativity. You may need it for some reason. But if the answer is no, then just stop. Take a few minutes. Just back off for a few minutes. Do our techniques and then come back if you need to and revise that, look at that a little bit differently. And you know, when we're watching news, got to be careful. I'm going to tell you right now, not everything that you see in the news is a reality because stories sell. Fear sells. And we also have different suggestibility types. And some of you are very literal. And you take everything in as absolute truth, and it's black and white. And because that reporter said that, or if you're in a medical field, that doctor said that, or that
And
person,
we love them for hypnotherapy, those that are very literal.
Very literal.
They can do a very quick change.
Yes. So you're so suggestible because black and white, you take it in. And because that person and that authority said it, it must be true. That is your state of suggestibility. And that's one thing that we test when we come into the office with you is I want to know what your state of suggestibility is and how literal you are to the information that you receive. Other people are very inferential, which means you're reading behind the meaning of the words. And they may give you a fact, and it could be a scientific fact. It could be actually this is real. But now you're reading in between the lines, And you say, well, yeah, maybe they're saying this, but I think this is what's going on. Or you may be reading their body language or their eye contact, or, you know, she's wearing a certain outfit that she really must mean this because she wore that color today. So think about how you're processing information in your own style and ask yourself, am I black and white or am I reading between the lines, and how am I doing this most of the time, and is it helping me? Is it working for me? So, you know, we're communication experts, and that is so important for us.
And I love the break state. I love this because as hypnotherapists, we use it a lot, and you can tell the difference when you sit with a client and you do that, even while hypnosis, you can see the body movement. You can see how that person is affected by it. I love the break state that you offered. Go out. Just go out to the nature. Mm-hmm. See other people. Stop thinking about this all the time because, like you said, ask yourself, what am I gaining out of it? Do I want to be sad? Do I want to be stressed and get into anxiety and depression and whatever it is? So we want to stay away from that. In two words, before I get to the last thing about reframing, because that's a big tool that we use, when you talked about the eye movement, which I love and I use it a lot, if you can just explain the connection between the eye movement and the brain so that they understand why does it affect so much and why is it going to help them so much?
Like I said, the eyes are a direct pathway to the neural pathways in the brain, okay? So your eyes, when they move around, if I'm looking at you, by the way, and we're talking and I'm looking at you, and I see your eyes looking up and scanning up, you are in a visual eye accessing mode. You're literally, we'll use that word, seeing the information or seeing the pictures, or you're creating it. When your eyes are scanning sideways, because this is where your ears are, going sideways, you're in an auditory mode. And you're remembering what somebody has said, or you're, you know, rephrasing that. You're talking a little bit inside your mind. So that's an auditory state. When your eyes are looking down, you're accessing emotions, could be negative emotions, feelings, but it's also negative self-talk. So watch people's eyes when they are talking to you and find out, are they visually creating information? Are they just saying what they've already heard before? Or are they coming from an emotional feeling state? And changing your eye accessing cues and your own movement will change the pathway. And it's just, once again, so basic. It's just like driving down a freeway. If you drive down that freeway, you drive down that road or that highway, and you need to get off, you need to look and see where you're going to go. There's another pathway. There's another road that takes you off into a different direction. But you have to look, you have to talk to yourself, and then you have to physically move the wheel. So that's what the eyes are doing. They are kind of like the car inside of your body, and they are taking you on whatever direction is right in front of you in your life. So what do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel? But you have the power, you are in the driver's seat, to change that state instantly.
And when somebody talks to you, even if it's on social media, try that as well. Check where the eyes look at. Look at their face impression. Are they, you know, is it not natural for them what they say? You can tell the difference if they are acting or is it something that comes natural. And that tells me at least a lot as well when I look at, especially politicians, by the way, although a lot of them, you know, took NLP classes
well,
and
trained.
They know very well and trained to know how
they're
to
trained.
Do that.
Yeah.
So that's another subject. And let's just do a short piece about reframing, about how we can change the words we use, how we can talk different, because we have the ability and we have the option to choose if we talk negative or we talk positive. Mm-hmm. The brain listens. It's same as when you do all those laugh yoga now. So you basically start laughing from nothing. Your brain believes that you are happy. You are laughing. You become happy.
You
this is real.
Those hormones.
Yes, that's real. So same thing. When we start talking negative talk, That's where the brain goes with you. The brain, the subconscious mind, does not know to differentiate between good and bad. So how we can reframe the words we use, the sentences we use, and the same how we talk to our children, how we talk, including myself. I love to give personal examples on from my life. How I will use the words I want to say instead of thinking, what is the outcome? What do I want? What is the outcome from that conversation? If I will just reframe the words and the sentence and obviously the tonality and obviously the body language, I'll gain much better results. So same when you deal with that, because obviously what happens when you watch something in the news or social media, the next thing you will do is you'll start talking about it. And it starts spreading and spreading and spreading. And you give it to a friend and you give it to your wife and you give it to whoever. Those are people who believe in you. If you tell them, there's nothing to check here. It's obvious. If Michelle said it, it must have been happening. I mean,
we're having an
it was a terrible
right now.
Earthquake. Can't you see that?
It's 8.2.
We're all shaking here. So reframing in few words right before we'll finish. Good
some,
message.
What are some of the big words that we say to ourselves? I can't, I won't, I don't know how to, I should, I shouldn't, I must, I need to, I'm supposed to. And my mother just fell down. She had a really bad fall and she's in quite a bit of pain and we're trying to rehab her right now. And if I, you know, say to her, do you want to be able to stand up or sit up? Oh, I can't. I can't. And I was just speaking to the nursing facility and I'm telling you, when she said, I was saying to her, when she says, I can't, that's the first words out of her mouth. If you believe what she's saying, she's not going to be able to be mobile anytime soon. So what I do with my mother, for example, when she says, oh, I can't get up. I said, well, what if you could? Oh, well, then I'll be able to sit up. Yeah, and then if you're able to sit up, what could you do? Could you maybe sit up and then move and stand? Maybe I could. So she changes it really quickly. Instead of saying don't, and by the way, our mind doesn't process the negative in a sentence. We don't process the negative. So when you tell somebody don't do this or don't do that, the mind hears do this. If I said don't think about a pink elephant right now, you have to think about a pink elephant because I already put the image in there. If I say don't take a look at that thing on the door, oh my gosh, don't look in the corner, then your mind and your body instantly have a reaction. So be careful of the negatives. Just reframe the words. What if I could? Okay. How would that change your life? Instead of I can't, I need to, I won't, I'm not supposed to. So that's it. Just turn the word into a positive. And be careful with the generalizations always. Mm-hmm. People love to say this.
Everybody's
doing this. Everybody. I can't possibly because it's never going to work.
It's so, all over the news.
All over the news. It's always going to be like this. And if you want to help change people's state, your friends, your family, your children, your colleagues, your clients, whatever it is, then literally just take what that word is and repeat it back and say this. Always, every single second of the day, it's like this. Never. We're never going to have sun in California ever again. It's going to be raining every day. Everybody does it. Everybody on the planet thinks like that. And then the mind has to correct it. These are little tricks. It has to correct it. Well, no, not everybody. Well, how many people then believe that? So be aware of questioning yourself and question the information you're getting around you. Question and check, is this true for me? Is this right for me? Is this helpful? Is it positive? And is it beneficial to me and my life right now? And if the answer is no, stop, breathe, think, and change your programming.
Wonderful.
She took another deep breath in. Did you hear
it? I take deep breath all the time. Again, I'm an emotional.
We're changing our states.
Yes,
yay.
Definitely.
No earthquake. There's no earthquake.
No earthquake. Nothing is happening. Beautiful sunny day, warm summer in LA. So no worries.
And it's going to rain again. It's okay. It's okay.
Yes. So I think it was amazing. I mean, I think you gave a lot of information, mm-hmm. and I trust all of you, the listeners, those that are alive, those that will watch it later.
Those that are alive.
Are alive.
All of those of you alive that are and breathing. Alive as well. Whew, thank goodness you're breathing.
Exactly. And keep breathing. And if you need help, we can always help and teach you how to breathe. And if you have any questions, if you want something specific about this session, you can send it to me, to Michelle. If you send it to me, I will send it to Michelle, but I'll also tag you in on the post so they can Perfect. Get in touch with you Perfect. As well. And thank you for being here, and thank you so much, Michelle. I know you're a very, very busy woman, and I thank you for being here and for being here for me for and her. For being in my life.
It's all about her.
Yes.
I love it.
And that's it. That's the end of the show. Until the next time, thank you.
Thank you. Stay tuned and breathe.
You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.